Chapter 1. The last time I saw Nika before she died was on the way back from the tennis courts of Chandler Academy, the private boarding and day school in Hartford, Connecticut, where we were both students, and our parents were both teachers. It was a Friday in April, a few minutes past 5 o'clock. Practice had just ended. Nika was in front of me, walking fast, head down, racket bag rhythmically slapping her hip. Her skirt was pleated and short, rolled at the waist to make it shorter still. As she bent to retrieve a fallen sweatband, I glimpsed an underside of thigh, tan and smooth-muscled, a flash of cotton too, hot pink, like a lick of flame. I called her name once, then again. She didn't turn around, though, until I put my hand on her arm. Stopping, she stared at me, eyes slow-focusing in her head. "Oh," she said. "I didn't know it was you." "Who else would I be?" "Good question." With a blank, she turned, started walking again. "Mr. Schaefer said he was going to stick around, run drills for anyone who wanted to work on overheads."
"Yeah?" I said, struggling to keep pace.
"I figured you'd want to."
I was the team's number one player, had beaten out Nika for the spot. As far as mechanics went, she was the superior. Her strokes were sharper, crisper, cleaner, landed deeper in the court, and with greater penetration. But I was a little faster and a lot more willing to scrap. If the rally became extended, she'd almost always go for the kill shot, hit something with verve and ambition that sailed just past the baseline, whereas I'd push the ball back to the center of the court, wait for my opponent to make the mistake. Basically, I was better at tennis the same way I was better at school, which is to say, I wasn't. I was just a grinder and a grubber. She had too much style to do either.
"My overhead doesn't need work," I said,
the breeziness of my words undercut by my strained tone. She nodded distractedly. I came clean.
"Actually, I pulled a muscle a little bit, hitting serves. Thought I'd give it a break."
This time she didn't bother to nod, and for a while we walked in silence. Trying again, I said,
"So are you going to that party tonight with Maddie?"
"Uh-uh."
"I thought I heard you say you were."
She looked at me.
"You were listening to our conversation?"
I shrugged. An admission. When she was quiet, I snuck a sideways glance at her, scanning her expression to see if she was mad. She didn't appear to be, though, just thoughtful, eyes downcast, fixed on the moving patch of ground in front of her. Since her mind was so obviously elsewhere, I watched her more openly than I normally would have dared. She looked different lately. Beautiful as always, but sloppily so, and cared for. Hair in a crooked ponytail, feet slip-sliding in untied sneakers, lips chapped and swollen. At last she said,
"I only told Maddie that to get her off my back."
And that's when I understood. It wasn't me Nika had been trying to avoid.
"Maddie was bugging you?" "Wouldn't take no. You know how she is."
I wanted to shake my head, say, "How?" But instead I lied, nodded. That familiar feeling of disconnectedness. The sense that people were mysterious to me in a way they weren't to each other descended. Before it could turn into full-on depression, I shook it off, said,
"If you're going to be home tonight, I could help you with your French paper. I know it's due Monday and..." "Donnez-moi un break, okay?"
"What do you mean?" I said, surprised. "Why?"
"Because I'm not going to be home tonight."
I half laughed. Of course she wasn't going to be. Of course she wasn't.
"And neither should you,"
she added.
"But I always go to bed early the night before a match. You know that. And tomorrow's is a big one."
We'd reached Houghton Gymnasium by this time. We're standing at the rear of the building, a few feet from the entranceway to the girls' locker room. It was private here, and the late sun was mild. I tilted my head back to feel its warmth. A faint breeze was on the air, and when it blew, I could hear the clink of rope against metal flagpole. Nika turned to me. Slowly, she lifted her right hand, brought it to her left nipple, then shook it rapidly back and forth. Titty hard on. Titty hard on was a favorite gesture of hers and Maddie's. It was meant to convey excitement, sexual, but coupled as it always was with blanked out eyes and a bored expression, was actually meant to convey the opposite of excitement, of any kind. So basically, it was a put down.